Lamed Sivan, Rosh Chodesh Tammuz, 17th of June, Rabbi Rafael Goldblatt, Grom on Shabbos, and the Kosher Switch.
Okay, so some of you are aware of the stuff that went on in America within the last few months. Somebody designed and patented a product that he called the Kosher Switch, and he launched it for crowdfunding online. He launched it on a website in order to gain funding in order to be able to mass produce it, and he had enough funding to produce what he wanted within a few minutes, because it was obviously very popular. And various Rabbonim, he claimed he had the Haskama from, some of them have since said they didn't approve it. Various of the Gedolim in America have come up against it. So I thought it might be interesting to go through the inyan of what exactly his idea is and whether it works. So just to rule out in the first place, I'm not going to touch on to Uvdi Dechoil, I'm not going to touch on to Zilusa de Shabbos, which Moshe Feinstein holds every time switching bowl, even if he's setting it from Erev Shabbos. I'm not going to deal with Hashkofa and Mitchell. All of these things are more difficult to define, and we're not going to go into that. I'm going to go specifically into the question of Groma, in which at least three different opinions have already been expressed regarding this. Some poskim have said that this is not even groma, it's mutar lechatchila. Some poskim have said that it is groma, and we'll deal exactly with what that means and what that should mean to us. And many poskim have said that it's not groma at all, it's a maaseh b'yadayim mamish, it's exactly the same as turning on the light switch straightforwardly, just pressing a normal switch. Various of the Gedolim in America have said that, and have said that if it's not a case of Pekach Nefesh, it's also, if it is Pekach Nefesh, why are you looking for things that are just going to delay things, and so on. So, this is not a new idea. That's the first thing which actually surprised me when I looked into it. In Toshin Lamed Ches, 1978, which is before I was born, a sefer was published by the Machon LeTechnologia BaHalacha in Beit Megan, Rav Levi Yitzchok Halperin. It's about 270 pages, defining exactly what comprises groma on Shabbos and what the parameters are of groma and how it's called Maiso or groma of Shabbos. And he goes through all that. And in the introduction from Harav Sharia Shul Kohen, the chief rabbi of Haifa, he writes there that the reason that they together went into this sugya in great detail when they were in Kodal together in the Machon Harry Fishel is because someone came up with an idea which is precisely this idea, which for some reason has waited 37 years to fill it till somebody's decided to crowd launch it. But the idea, which has it's been around for a long time. And he went through the inyan in great detail. He consulted with Shlomo Zalman. There are some slight differences between the version that he eventually did produce for hospitals and this version, which we'll touch on. So firstly, the basic question of what's the din of something which is a groma on Shabbos. So the Gemara on Shabbos Daf Kuf Chof, Mishnah on Shabbos Daf Kuf Chof, quotes a machlokes, if somebody has a fire burning in his house, can he fill kelim with water and set them up all the way around the fire? So because when the fire will hit them, they will then explode because the heat will expand, whatever the type of kli was that would explode, and the water will then pour all over the fire and the fire will go out. Achlokes Tanakama and Rabbi Yossi. The Gemara explains that both agree that groma is muta on Shabbos. The lashon of the psukim is lo sasu chol melacha. You have an asiyas melacha. Groma is not an asiya. However, Rabbi Yossi still says that we ask for midrabanon because if we're matu, well, people will come to other things. They'll come to just put it out of your dam. That's the machlokes in the Gemara in Shabbos Kuf Chof. There's a Mishnah and a Gemara on Daf Mem Zayin in Shabbos which seems to state explicitly that groma is asa in Shabbos. At least midrabanon. Gemara seems to say it's midrabanon. Tosis asks a stira. In Daf Kuf Chof we see that the Tanakama holds that it's muta, and in Daf Mem Zayin we see that it's asa midrabanon. There are various answers in Tosfos. The answer of the Mordechai, which is paskened in the Ramah in Simchin Lamed Daled, is that everybody agrees that in standard cases, groma is asa midrabanon. The Tanakama in Shabbos Daf Kuf Chof, who says that groma is muta, is because we're talking about when someone has a fire in his house. So, but Mokum Hefsed, and we can extend that to Mokum Choyli, if we're talking about someone who's in a case of illness or in a case of losing a significant amount of money, some suggest also Tzorech Mitzvah. For that type of thing, we would be matir a groma on Shabbos. A groma is an isa midrabanon. However, it's muta b'mokum hefset or b'mokum choli. That's the basic cloud of the shita of the Ramah. Some poskim suggest that the Shulchan Aruch disagrees with it, but the vast majority of the poskim, including Rabbi Avadia Yosef or Tzion Abba Shaul, say that the Mechaber, although he doesn't mention clearly when he gives us the dinim of groma, since he only mentions them in cases of fire, as does the Mishnah, they suggest that the Mechaber also agrees with this. So, bottom line, for the moment, the club, once we can analyse what is a groma and which cases it applies to, the basic point is that groma itself will only be mutter if you define it as a makom hefsed or a tzorech chayla. It has to be a case of whether you're either losing a significant amount of money or somebody you're helping somebody who's ill. That's point one. So, therefore, the three opinions that have been expressed are basically, is this a case of maisa b'yodayim, something which is potentially an issa d'oraisa, and therefore can't be done even by makom chayli, unless it's a situation of kibbutz nefesh? Is it a case of groma, which therefore is mutter if you're talking about a chayla or a hefsed, but not just mutter outright, that you can just be mutter it in every case? Or is it something which is not even a groma, that's as if you've managed to somehow achieve your aim without being in any way involved actively at all, not even to be defined as a groma? That's three opinions that have already been expressed. Now, there's a question that the Rishonim asked from a Gemara in Baba Kama Daf Samach and Baba Basha Daf Chav Vav, about, they asked this as a question on this Gemara in Shabbos Daf Kuf Chav. The Gemara says in Baba Basra that if somebody is achieved, someone causes a hezek in a way that the wind assisted him, even with a rachmat soya, depending on the kolam of Eish and so on, keeping it simple, in the case of Niskishchenim and that type of thing, Gemara says that he's potter because it's only a groma. If somebody has thrown something into the air and the wind blew it into somebody else's garden and it caused the hezek there, he's potter because it's only a groma. He's chayav din ishamayim, but he's potter. It's not a din of a, it's potter din groma. The Gemara asks the kasha that zoyre v'horach nesayate, one of the 39 malachas is zoyre, winnowing. You throw the produce, which has already been threshed and is set, the husks and the grain are separate, you throw that into the air and the wind separates them on your behalf. Zoyre is a malacha, it's a ma'aseh b'yodayim on Shabbos. Somebody who does zoyre is obviously chayav skila because that's one of the 39 malachas. And that's also only achieved with the assistance of the wind. So how can we say that over here in Nezikin it's a p'tur of groma, and over there on Shabbos it's chayav? And the Gemara answers with the ambiguous words, Shani Shabbos, because Meleches Machsheves Osra Torah. Shabbos is different because Shabbos has an issue of Meleches Machsheves. The simple implication of the Gemara, in Baba Kama and in Baba Basra, is that on Shabbos we don't have a Petur of Groma. Since the point on Shabbos is what you're trying to achieve is the issa, there's no Heter of Groma at all. That would be the simplest way of reading the Gemara, that on Shabbos we don't have a Heter of Groma at all. However, the Rishonim asked that this is directly contradicted by the Gemara in Shabbos Kuf Chof and Mem Zayin, which clearly says that there is a Psur of Grom on Shabbos. So how can we make the two cases consistent? So there are at least three different answers in the Rishonim, all of which are quoted Lahalacha, we'll get to them, which is very relevant, and which have impact on our cases here. The first teretz is the teretz of Rashi in Baba Kama, or in Chananel in Shabbos Daf Kuf Chof, the Rashba. They say that when the Gemara says Meleches Machsheves Osra Torah, what it means is that if you are actually trying to achieve the action, the effect that the groma is causing, then of course it will be Osim Midoraisa on Shabbos. Because Meleches Machsheves Osra Torah, therefore, according to them, if you are deliberately creating a situation of whatever groma it may be in order to achieve a specific effect, that will always be Osim Midoraisa on Shabbos. When does the Gemara say that groma is mut on Shabbos, specifically in cases of meleches mechabe, because the melacha of mechabe in the Mishkan was defined as mechabe to create charcoal, to create pechom, which is why it's melacha she'ina shvichu legufo if you're doing it in any other instance. Therefore, although the kavona is to put out the fire, but the kavona is not to put out the fire in the exact way which is the definition of the melacha, even according to Rabbi Yehuda, the melacha she'ina shvichu legufo is chayav, it's still not exactly the kavona of the meleches machsheves. And therefore, in those cases, we revert to the patur of groma. The Kuntra bin Chananel and Rashi and the Rashba, effectively, we have very little heter of groma nowadays. This shita is not brought in very many poiskim, however. Most poiskim take on that that although the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah and the poiskim generally only speak about groma in the exact cases of the Gemara, in the cases of Kibui, poiskim take on, I'm sure we're going to have Ram take some clearly, and we'll get to that in a minute where he says that, take on that the heter of groma we can extend to other cases. Since the Gemara in Shabbos says that the issa is asiyas melacha and groma is not an asiya, therefore it must be that it's a klal in all melachas, and meleches machsheves can't just knock that out. They don't accept that pshat of the Rishonim in why the Gemara says on Shabbos, Shabbos is different from meleches machsheves also.
And he closed the fridge, opened it, and the light was on for about 3 seconds. Can you close the fridge?
If the light is now on and you're turning it off, that could be ma'aseh b'yodayim, because you're closing it directly. That's dovah she'ina miskaven. Yeah, but it has to be a groma as well.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily a groma. Letting go of something which with gravity will then close is tomorrow in Baba Kama, that's not called groma. Otherwise you could drop something from a roof and break it and say I didn't cause any damage. It's also only using gravity. Right, so there are two more terutim which are big machlokes in the poskim in Siman Reish Nun Beis in Erev Chaim. There's the teretz of the Rosh and there's the teretz of the Yad Ramah. The Rosh says that when the Gemara says Meleches Machshavas Osra Torah, what it means is not the machshava of the person, that the person is specifically trying to create an effect, and that limits the heter of Groma. What the Gemara is saying is that Meleches Machshavas tells us that there are 39 melachas which are based on the Mishkan, which is, comes from those the Kol Meleches Machshavas, which is the Lashon Deposit about the Mishkan. There are 39 melachas. If the melacha of Zoireh doesn't fit the general, the classic parameters of Groma, of Maisa V'Yodayim and Groma, and it is a Groma, then Al Korchach, specifically the Melacha of Zoireh, is excluded from that klal. In the Melacha of Zoireh, because that's something that the classic case, that Av Melacha of Zoireh is done using the wind, so that's something that's just taken out of the heter of Groma, but in all other Melachas there would be a heter of Groma.
Who's that?
That's the Rosh. The Rosh in
Bava. Didn't really follow what I was saying.
Sorry.
Zoireh is different.
The Rosh basically is saying that Zoireh is different. Meleches Machshavas Osra Torah doesn't mean your kavana. It means that Meleches Machshavas tells us those 39 melachas are chayav, and if some of those, the basic classic definition of the melacha involves groma, then those melachas are chayav even with groma. Specifically Zoireh. The Rosh only mentions the example of Zoireh. The Chazanish takes this mahalach and he then takes it even further. The Chazanish is in Bava Kama Siman Aleph. Chazanish says that he believes that the groma of Shabbos in fact is more kal. We will be more makel in the definition of groma than in groma benizikin and in Rasicha. The Gemara of Nezikin throughout Bava Kama and Sanhedrin and all sorts of other places, Chulin in a couple of places also, that groma, the point of the Issa of Nezikin, the Issa of Rasicha, is the effect that's been created. Nevertheless, there's a patur of groma. The Gemara in Shabbos, which says that it's asiya of aloi groma, that's taking that even further and saying you have to be even more directly involved. However, he says a huge number of melachas will then fall into the Rosh's category. Because when you do a bishul, you're also not directly cooking it. All you're doing is putting it on a flame. So in Nezikin, that would be called the Maisa B'Yodayim. But his understanding of Loi Sasun, Asiya V'Loi Groma, he understands that to be excluding even such cases, and therefore he goes with the Rosh and says that even bishul and tzod and choresh and zoreya and many, many melachas, according to him, are included in this category and have been taken out of the heter of Groma. We'll get to that. That definition is very relevant to us, but there's a stira somewhere else. We'll get to that. The third teretz, which is the teretz of the Yad Ramah. The Yad Ramah says that when the Gemara says Meleches Machshavas Osra Torah, it doesn't even mean a chiluk between Shabbos and Nezikin. It doesn't mean Shani Shabbos Meleches Machshavas Osra Torah. It doesn't mean that the parameters of Groma or the dinim of Groma or the kolim of Groma or the applications of Groma will be in any way different in Shabbos from in any other case. Of course, they're going to be identical. What it means is a much more basic chiluk. In the case of Nezikin, what you're trying to achieve, whether it was b'chavon or whether it wasn't b'chavon, the thing that was achieved was that the moitz that was thrown, the fluff that was thrown into the air was then blown somewhere else, and when it got to the other place, it caused a hezek. So that is defined as a groma. You've thrown that thing into the air, you've exposed it to the wind has then blown it elsewhere. Once it got somewhere else, then it caused a hezek. That's a step removed from you. Zoireh, what you're achieving with Zoireh, the definition of the Maisa Melacha, of the Issa of Zoireh, is that you've thrown the thing into the air and the wind has immediately separated it. You've exposed it to the wind, not that therefore the wind enabled it to do something else, but that the wind itself directly separated the chaff from the grain and achieved Melacha of Zoireh.
When it says you've harnessed the wind.
You've utilized the tool, the wind, as a tool to achieve your purpose. How exactly that's consistent with Shani Shabbos and Lechna Shabbos Osra Torah is not clear, but that's the chiluk of the Ramah. So, Lahalacha, we have a machloikus between the Rosh and the Ramah, both L'chumra and L'kola. According to the Rosh, if you were talking about Meleches Zoireh, and according to the Chazanish, Meleches Bishul and Tzod and many other melachas as well, we would lose the heter of Groma entirely, because Shani, those melachas, the Meleches Machshavas Osra Torah. However, if you were to have a case which is similar to Zoireh in a different melacha, if you would expose something to the wind in a way that the wind would achieve the melacha on your behalf, that would be Groma and that would only be Osam and Drabonon. According to the Ramah, we have the opposite. If you've done something which is similar to Zoireh in that you've exposed something to a wind or some other force which will achieve some purpose without your direct involvement, that would not be defined as groma in any melacha. But if you would find a case of genuine groma, then even in melacha Zoireh it would be only an Issa Midrabanan. And we're going to have Roman Siman Reish Nun Beis, right? That if someone has a Reichayim Shel Mayim, he has a water mill which is turning, and he puts chitim into that water mill, he puts the grain into that mill, and it's then ground by the power of the gravity which has put the water flowing. Then he is potter on Shabbos. It's an Issa Drabonon of Groma. The Mishabura says, the Devon Hoiz, and the Mishabura says many other Achroinim disagree with this. They say that since what you've done is exposed the grain to an existing force of the water, that's the same as Zoyre, and according to the Rama, when you've exposed something to an existing force, that's going to be a case of Maisa B'Yodayim, of an Issa D'Oraisa, of not gromming. It says if there's already something else in the mill which is being ground, and therefore this has to wait in the container at the top, and then eventually it will fall in, then it would be a grommer. He has a long piece in the Bi'ah Halachin, which we'll talk about that. But the basic klal is that he paskens, like the chumrah of the Ramah, which is that if you've exposed something to an existing force, that's definitely going to be considered a Maisa B'Yodayim.
What is delay? How much is delay?
He doesn't say. Hashem Zalman says the thing, where's the derech that people would normally do it like that? That's not called a delay. So for example, a combi boiler, which takes a few seconds to light up, Hashem Zalman says it's definitely Maisa B'Yodayim, and you can't use them on Yom Tov. Even though there's a sensor which connects to the water pressure, and that eventually causes something else, that he says is called a Maisa B'Yodayim. So we have a machlokas lahalacha. We have a kula of Magen Avraham. Magen Avraham has paskened like the Rosh. Magen Avraham has paskened that if you would have an action which is similar to Zoyre, you've exposed something to an existing force, and that force then does the melacha on your behalf, even if it's immediate, that's still only groma, except the melachas of Zoyre and some other gons of Azanish are excluded from the whole heter of groma. Whereas the Evna Oza and most Achronim are machmir in the case of Magen Avraham is mekel, they take the chumrah of the Ramah, and they say that in the case where you're directly exposing something to an existing force, that's considered a Maisa B'Yodayim, like Zoyre, like when you've thrown the mixture of the chaff and the grain into the wind, which separates it on your behalf, and that would be a klal that would apply in all malachas. Whether they would then take the kula of the Ramah and say that in Zoyre, if you have genuine groma, it would also be potter, I don't know, they don't speak about that. So, now let's move on to the case of the kosher switch itself. Now, the mechanism of the kosher switch, the basic relevant point of the mechanism of the kosher switch is that all that you're doing, when someone presses the switch on this, it was already produced by Tzomet in Eretz Yisrael and called the Groma switch. They didn't want to call it kosher switch because they were only mutter to Tzorei. But when you press the switch, basically you're moving a piece of plastic and there's nothing there. Nothing is actually happening. There's no sensor. Nothing within the apparatus which senses that you've done anything, which senses any change. After a certain amount of time, which is random, depending obviously when you've pressed it, and they've built in an extra randomizer for some reason, after a certain amount of time, something emits a ray, which passes through the place where the switch is or was, and is then sensed at the other side. So if the switch is in the off position, there's a piece of plastic blocking that ray. If you had previously pressed the on button, then that piece of plastic is no longer there. It's been moved out of the way, and the ray can therefore move past it and hit the sensor on the other side. And if that ray will then be received by the sensor on the other side, then that will start the chain of the electrical circuits working and so on.
Why is it random?
Why did they build in a random?
No, how is it random?
There are two reasons why it's random. The basic design, which is what Tzomet used in Eretz Yisrael, it's random. It's not really random. It's just because you don't know how soon it's going to be, but you know it's not going to be immediate. You know it's not going to be while you're doing it, but it might be 5 seconds later. It might be depending how long since it's been on. It emits every 10 seconds or so, and you know you're within that window. They've built in an extra randomizer, which is a computer which emits, chooses a number, and if that number is more than 0.5 or less than 0.5, and they've done that for a separate reason, which isn't all that relevant.
Is that random kosher? Not a kosher random.
What do you mean by is it kosher?
Well, is it
we have to see whether the randomizer makes any difference at all. Right. So what they've effectively created is a type of groma which is in the Gemara in Sanhedrin and in Chulin referred to as the case of Bit Kodamaya. If somebody Bit Kodamaya, a dam. A Bit Kodamaya, which is a dam. If the Gemara speaks in Sanhedrin, Dafayin Zion or Base and in Chulin Dafte Zion, in a case of somebody who's lying tied up on the floor next to a dam, somebody comes up and opens the lock, he unblocks the dam, and the water comes gushing down on the person and it drowns him. The Gemara says that in that case, if it's koyach rishon, the person is chayev. If it's koyach sheni, then he's potter. And Rashi says, dinoy bidei shamayim, meaning that it's a groma. That's a case of groma. If somebody exposes somebody to a force that's already there but is blocked, and he unblocks it by opening the dam, that would be a Maisa B'Yodayim. That's the Gemara in Foreshes, and the Gemara applies it to Shechita as well in Chulin. That's the Gemara there. But if it's what's called Koyach Sheni, then that's not true. Then that would be something which is not Maisa B'Yodayim. What they've tried to achieve with the Koyach Sheni is, since the ray is not being emitted at the moment that you press the switch, So you're not unblocking the ray. There's no ray that's coming that's currently blocked that you're allowing to come through. Scientifically, I think even if it was being blocked at that moment, you're not actually unblocking that one, because that one's already ceased and it's the next one that's coming along that will come through. But that far, they weren't willing to take the technical aspect of it. So since it's not actually firing at the time when you move the switch, you aren't a precise case of Bittgenstein. It's only coming along after that, and since it's only coming along after that, it's the case which is defined in the Gemara as Brahma. Now, the question is what exactly does the Gemara mean by Koyach Sheni? The case of the Gemara defines as Koyach Sheni is clearly Groma, and it, therefore, since it's a case of Groma, it would be Osir on Shabbos Midrabon, except Mokim Toyot. So Rashi learns in several places that Koyach Sheni means that the water that's flowing down from the dam doesn't fall immediately onto the person. It may flow for a certain amount, and it may even pool in one place before it gets to this person and causes the damage or kills the person. However, Rashi doesn't mention any case of when the water was not even enclosed by the dam. If, for example, you had water that's flowing down a hill and you know there's a wall in the way and you quickly go and take the brick out of the way, or there's not even that, but you know it's going to rain and when it rains there'll be a flood and therefore you're unblocking. According to Rashi, we have no source whether that case, which is another step removed, remains Groma or is less than Groma. The Adrama in Sanhedrin Dafayin Zayin says that's not the case of Koyach Sheni. In the case of Rashi, the case of Koyach Sheni is when the water is not even flowing yet, when it hasn't yet rained, and when it rains you know that the river is going to flood, and once the river floods then it's going to come here, and if the dam would still have been there it would not have been able to get to the person and kill him, but since you've unblocked it, it is. So in the Adrama it's Mufurash that in this case of the kosher switch, effectively, the Adrama is Mufurash that this case is a Groma. This case is not, according to the Adrama, it's definitely not better than Groma. According to Rashi, it possibly is, but according to the Rama, it definitely is not better than Groma. That's the first point.
And it's forbidden.
And therefore, it's forbidden except the Mokom Hefsed or Chayim. The Mogen Avraham in Siman Tov Kuf Yud Daled in Hilchos Yom Tov speaks about a case of when you have a candle behind the door, which is related to the Gemara in Shabbos Kuf Chof, quoted in Siman Reish Ayin Zayin. If you have a candle that's behind the door, you open the door and that candle will then go out, Baruch Matsuya. Gemara says that's Osa, that Gemara says that's Osa Midoy Raisa. And the Poskim explain, the Rishonim explain that that's identical to Bidka Vamai. The wind is blowing on the door, you open the door and allow the wind in, and that wind then puts the candle out, so that's a mice of your dime. The Mogen Avraham speaks about a case of when the wind is not blowing, but you know that it's going to, at some point in the next, however long, it's going to get stronger, and it will then be strong enough to put the candle out. Says the Mogen Avraham, that will definitely be Groma, and therefore it will be Osa Midrabonon. That's the Gemara that the Mogen Avraham says. So the Mogen Avraham is passing like the Rama, because the Mogen Avraham is taking on that in a case of when the wind is not yet present, opening the door will still be an Issa, because it's the Issa of Groma. You're allowing the wind that when it will come, will put the candle out. He says if it were Shalom B'chavona, if you weren't doing it so that it would put the candle out, then there would be room to for maneuver, because it's Dov HaShem Miskaven, it possibly isn't Sikresha, and Dov HaShem Miskaven with the Groma, there's already something to talk about. But when it's B'chavona, the Mogen Avraham says Mufurash, about a case which is very, very similar to the way the mechanism of the kosher switch, the Mogen Avraham says Mufurash that that's Asa. Not only that, the Mogen Avraham says it's Asa even on Yom Tov. The Mogen Avraham himself is relatively makeling Groma on Yom Tov, based on Shittas Tosfos, that Groma is more kal on Yom Tov. So the Mogen Avraham seems to be Mufurash, that there's nothing to talk about in this case, there is no difference between this and his case, it's therefore Asa. So basically, according to the column we've seen so far, we have very clear sources that it will remain a case of Groma. There's no way that we'll turn it into less than Groma. It will remain Groma, and since it's Groma, it will be also Midrabonon, and it will be Mutav Mokum Hefsed and Choli, and some would say Mitzvah. That's so far. That seems pretty logical also, because the Gemara in Sanhedrin speaks about other cases, not the cases of Bitka Demaya, but other cases of Sof Chama Lovoy and other things like that, where you're exposing something to a force which is going to come, and Gemara calls those Groma as well, and they're similar to Kleaf Shane. So that's the basic klal of the categories of Groma. Over here, we have two possibilities why it might be more Chomor. The first tzad why it might be more Chomor is the Chazon Ish I mentioned earlier. Now, the Chazon Ish writes in Bava Kama Siman Yud Daled that the Groma of Shabbos in general, he holds, is a much broader, has a much broader definition than in Ezekiel, because in Shabbos the point is not the effect, the point is the action. There's a separate miyot in the Gemara, Lo Sasu Komalocha, Asiya is also not Groma. But because of that, he comes out with a chumrah. Because he holds that the definition of groma is much broader in Shabbos than in other cases, he has a chumrah, which is that he's forced to include far more melachas in the exclusion from groma of Zoira. As I said, he goes along the lines of the Rosh in Bava Kama, and he's forced to include melachas like Bishul and Tzad and Choyresh in those things. The Yerushalmi says Tosfos who argue with this, Yerushalmi and Shabbos every time, but Yerushalmi says that if someone hunts with dogs, the Rambam passes this, if he hunts with dogs, even if he's not directly involved in when the dogs catch the animal, that's called Maisud Tzod B'Yodayim, he's chayav. If someone plows with an ox, even if he's not guiding the ox, that's called a Maisud B'Yodayim, and therefore he's chayav. Says the Chazon Ish, this Yerushalmi is clearly going with his understanding, which is that those malachas, because the classic case is also only going to be, at least in many cases, of the Av Malacha, is only ever going to be a Maisa in which he's not directly involved, he's not actually cooking the food in any way, he's just exposing it to heat. Now those Malacha, then similarly with Tzod, even if he's setting the trap at the moment that the animal comes in, which Tosfos says it's not Groma, according to his understanding, that is. So those Malachas are excluded from the Patur of Groma. So according to the Chazon Ish, it would seem that we have a much more problematic, we have a much greater problem here. Even if we're going to accept that the kosher switch is going to be defined as Groma, according to the Chazon Ish, in several cases, the melacha that's then created by that groma is going to be a potential melacha deraisa. For example, if someone uses this switch to turn something on which will cook food, someone uses the switch to turn on something which itself will cook food, the Chazon Ish says that the melacha of Bishul is excluded from the heter of groma, and that's therefore going to be an issue deraisa. Even if it's defined as groma, that's not going to help. That's one point.
Make fire or something.
Chazon Ish is masubag about malvin, whether it's included in groma or not. He's not sure whether if you set something on fire, that's called a groma or aisha mishum pitzov. It's more of a maisa. He's not sure that. There is, however, a steerer to this Chazon Ish in the Chazon Ish himself. Chazon Ish in Siman Lamed Ches, who cotton base in Erech Chaim, mentions a case of Bishul and says clearly about Bishul that he's talking about a case of a hot plate where you're changing the time switch, and he says that if you're only actually you're only making the time switch turn it on later on, then he holds it boine doiraisa l'shitosai, even though there's no actual current yet, because you're creating a mechanism that will be able to make something work. He holds that boine doiraisa. But in Tzad the Bishul, it's potter because it's only groma. So Chazon Ish seems to be says himself about this klal, and there are potential chilukim which could be relevant to us as well. So if one is machmir for that Chazon Ish in Baba Kama and take it as a steerer to the other Chazon Ish, and therefore hold it in Bishul and potentially Mavir, there is an Issa, Doiraisa, even in a case of genuine groma, then there wouldn't be any Issa at all. The second argument against it even being a groma, and therefore not even being Mutter the Torah Choli, is the Svara of Rav Moshe, which is, I think, the reason why many of the Gedolei HaBoskim in America have come out against it, because those who've spoken against it are predominantly the Talmidim of Rav Moshe. Rav Zalman Auerbach writes in several places, he has a tshuva about this, he's quoted in Shmini Shabbos Kulchasa and in the Sefer of Elias Halpern, he consulted with him about this. Rav Zalman holds that in every case of an electrical appliance or anything like that, we look at the way that it works. For example, the Tshuva Smafzei Avraham in the end of the 19th century, when electricity was a new thing, argued that every electrical current is always only ever groma, because all you're doing is completing the circuit. The electrons can then flow through the circuit, so you're not actually doing anything at all. Shlomo Zalman argues with that because he says that's like with Kedumai, even though the electrons are not actually flowing yet, but because they are there and will flow immediately, that he holds is like with Kedumai apparition. There's a machlokes there, but they are both going with this mahalach that we look at technically exactly how it works. Therefore, Shlomo Zalman, for example, said that to use a time switch to make something come on earlier, but not at the moment you're actually pressing the button, it will come on at a, not now, it will come on in a certain amount of time, but not immediately. Shlomo Zalman says, Enochanami, that's only groma, and it's also, and it's mutter b'tzorech choli. On Yom Tov, Shlomo Zalman allows the groma to turn something on but not turn something off, because on Yom Tov there are mikilim and groma in general. Mavir itself is only in it's a drabon on Yom Tov, Bishul, of course, and so on. Shlomo Zalman holds that you look at the technical aspects, and Agav, presumably according to that, Shlomo Zalman would have held that the kosher switch is mutter to be used to turn the lights on on Yom Tov but not on Shabbos, but you can never turn them off again. So you're not, I don't know if anyone's going to install them just for that, even if they would follow Shlomo Zalman. Rav Moshe, however, disagrees. Rav Moshe has two tshuvas in Erech Chaim Chelik Dalet and in Yeredei Chelik Gimel. He has two tshuvas, and he argues the opposite. He doesn't explain very much, but the way that it's understood, that what Rav Moshe means to say, is that when you're looking at an appliance which has been designed to create a specific effect, it's not our business to look at technically how exactly that works. We don't need to look inside at the mechanism and see how exactly electrical currents work, whether there's a delay built in, whether there's a ray and a block and whatever else is going on. That's not the point. The way we look at it as humans, and the way the Torah wants us to look at it in our halacha, is that we have here a kli, and we use this kli to turn the light on. The fact that the kli takes a certain amount of time to turn the light on is not enough to be considered groma, because that's like you've done an action which itself has had a direct effect after a certain amount of time. Moshe therefore says that if you, to make a time switch turn something on earlier, or turn something off earlier, or turn something on later, or turn something off later, any of the cases, he says the technicalities are irrelevant. The fact that what you've done is caused a circuit to be created later on which will turn something on, or stopped the circuit from being created and made, and therefore it will come on later, because which it would anyway have been on then, but you've stopped it from coming on earlier. That's not the way to look at it at all. The way to look at it, according to Rav Moshe, is that what you've done is turn something on in 5 minutes' time, or turn, so even if you've made it come on later, you've not, it's not that you've turned it off before that, you've made it come on later. You've not stopped it from coming on at the time where it was going to, when it was going to come on, and therefore it's automatically left in the situation. That's not the way to look at it at all, according to Moshe. According to Moshe, therefore, it would seem, the Pashto says, that the kosher switch would be an Issa D'oraisa, because in the same way that he answers every time switch, it would not, and I'm not talking about his tshuva about time switch on Erev Shabbos, which is Zila Milsa and like Amir Latman, I'm talking about on Shabbos itself. He says it's a Maisa Melocha D'oraisa, and therefore it would seem, according to Moshe, that this would also be. Lemaisa, in hospitals like Shari Tzedek, for example, they rely on Shlomo Zalman. They have built-in mechanisms which are actually more. There's more of a tzad that they are less than Broma than this case, but they still only would use it officially the Tzorech Chayla. The Maisa, they're all relying on Shlomo Zalman. Rabbi Yashiv passed the motion, and he disagreed with it. But the general minhag, at least in places in Eretz Yisrael, where obviously in a hospital you're not going to be able to organize that everything's going to be done in a day, is that people rely on Shlomo Zalman, and they consider this type of system. We don't have time to go into the detail of the system they actually use, which is even better than the kosher switch. This type of system is considered a groma. But to consider it less than groma, whatever they've done to it, there doesn't seem to be any tzad la lach or
l'maisa. Ramosha wouldn't agree with Tzor Chayla?
No. Ramosha holds it's a deraisa. Yeah, and they built in the randomizing factor. The randomizing factor they built in for a different reason, which is that there are shittas that if something fits into the categories of Garmi, it would be more common on Shabbos, and Ramban holds that it's not Garmi if it has a random point. So that's known, the randomizing factor is definitely not going to make it less than Garmi, and the definition of random is difficult in this case, because you know it's going to happen within 30 seconds, you just don't know exactly which time that the emitting point tries to send the ray is actually going to work. But that's like the case with Moral Soap Kamalova. You don't know when the sun is going to come out behind the clouds exactly. But that's still called the drama, so that's definitely not going to make it less than drama. That's just an extra thing that's added in, even once you consider it drama, to take out this one certain opinion. So, Lemaisa, Lefi, possibly the Chazon Ish, and almost certainly Rav Moshe, the kosher switch would be an Issa D'oraisa. According to Shlomo Zalman, which is generally accepted in hospitals and Eretz Yisrael and things like that, it would be mutter the Tzorah Chayla, it would be mutter the Mokhan Hefzit Rodol, but it wouldn't be in the Lechon Chimna. I have yet to find any real tzad in the poskim that it should be mutter the Lechon Chimna.
Good.